Hello, everybody. Welcome to Medical Insurance Training 101. Thanks for being here. We let everybody stroll in, about 70 plus people here so far. So January 11th, and today we're going to go through one of the hardest things to understand, and it's medical training of interpreting cryptic copays.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep going now.
Percentages. I'm going to mute everybody here. If everybody wants to put their understanding of what a deductible is in the chat and give me a percentage. So 100% meaning I completely understand what a deductible is, or 0%, I have no clue absolutely. So I'm going to put 100 for myself. I understand what it is. It's okay if you don't know. This is going to be very basic training.
Hey, it's Perry. If you're listening to this as a podcast, this was actually a webinar cast I did a few weeks ago, and the YouTube link is posted in the recording. And there's a lot of visuals, a lot of proprietary intellectual property of mine, and you'll get to see the process that I've created for myself and other practices to do medical insurance verification in bulk, and how to speak to patients, how to organize the data, how to interpret the data. And there's a lot of third-party applications I use to get this done. And if you need insurance verification done for your office, it is a service I offer. I'll put a Google document inside the show notes where you can look at the pricing, see how to do it. There's two ways I can work with you. I can train your team how to do it, and it's a one-time flat fee, and I'll give you my framework, processes, and software to do that. The other way is I'll just do it for you. And the cost for insurance verification ranges anywhere from about $1.35 to about $2.35 per insurance verification, depending on how many units you buy. You'll feel so good being able to do insurance verification, master it, and interpret it. And that's it. Enjoy.
Going right back to the fundamentals, we're going to pretend we're in kindergarten. My kindergarten teacher was Mrs. Bebermeyer. And for the hell of it, why don't we put our kindergarten teachers in the chat? We'll kind of have some fun here. I know Dr. Davis, that was 4 centuries ago. I'm kidding. You look healthy and well, so. Mrs. Moss, okay, I'm Bebermeyer. She lived in my neighborhood, could never get away with anything. It was terrible. Okay, so this is medical insurance basic training. We're going to start with kind of a little fun exercise here. So to begin, I'm Perry Brill. I'm an optician by trade. Was in my father's practice for about 8 years, heavy medical, heavy optical. And I just learned all this on the job, and I'm a tech person. So you're going to see technology tools I'm going to show you that I hope you guys utilize. Some are free, some are not free. Okay, so to begin, I want you guys to guess the technology. And the point of this is to show you insurance is so outdated. We're operating in the 90s and the 80s. And so let's see if you guys can guess what we got going on here. So the first thing is, what is this? Let's put it in the chat. I was born in 91. I never used this, but I know what it is. So an 8-track, okay, which is probably coming back into style. I know vinyl records are super big right now. So it's an 8-track, exactly. What is this? And actually, if you had one of these, not just know what it is, but if you ever had one of these, what is it? Cell phone, okay, car phone, portable phone, yeah. Bag phone, that's what I was looking for, bag phone, exactly, okay. And let's go to the next item here. What is this weird contraption? Tamagotchi, yes. A Tamagotchi. Yeah. How much did those cost back in the day? I don't even remember. Were they like $20 or like $7.20? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not sure if we have one more item here. Napster. I got in trouble with this one. I think a lot of us got in trouble for this. You guys remember Napster? Ew, Napster. What did we do with Napster? Music copying, exactly. Stealing tunes, downloading songs. Yes. And so the one thing Napster did well is they did a topsy-turvy on the music industry, just like Spotify. Spotify gives you all the music for free, and then they pay the artists based on the downloads. And the previous model of you got to buy the CD to listen to it, you got to pay ahead of time, is broken. So LimeWire, yep, I use LimeWire too, for sure. I actually got banned from the internet in college for downloading a movie on LimeWire. Not a dirty movie or anything, just literally a movie. I think I went against the school policies. Okay, so here we are. We're entering the year 2003. I know this is hilarious, but we are seriously entering the year 2003 with insurance. And so just realize what you're about to experience is completely whack, and there's nothing you can do about it. All we can try is our best. So here we go. We're entering 2003. It's going to go crazy. Elon Musk is going to pop out of nowhere. And then Jesus. Okay. We're going to figure out how to move. Okay. So here we are. I just want you to let you know that insurance is time consuming. It's complicated. There's a ton of clicks. And it's luck. It's a lot of websites. And this is just how it is. And my goal today is to make it as easy as possible for you and give you the resources and give you the tools to do it yourself. So always know it's never going to be perfect. If you're a perfectionist and you like to drop your kid off at 7:59 so they don't get a late blue slip, you know, this is not the industry you want to be in. So, and the complicated thing about this is it varies state by state. So that means Kansas versus Vermont versus Nevada, all the plans are completely different. So if you move across state lines, you may say, oh yeah, I know this plan, this deductible applies to the out-of-pocket maximum, this one doesn't. So that's why you always have to read every single plan every single time. So for the doctors in here, or in technicians, front desk, what is this thing here? This puffy lid, what is this thing? What would you call this? Sty, okay. Yep, any other names? Chalazion, perfect. All right, so the reason we're all here is we're all trying to treat medical, and this is a field. We have glaucoma, pink eyes. We have a foreign body over here. This, you know, the guy welding the rust in it, wear his safety glasses. And there's many types of medical visits, but also with an optometry, there's not that many. We do the same thing over and over and over. We use the same 15, 20 CPT codes over and over. Of course, there's always certain things that are one-offs. So many of us, the way we search for our doctors, if you're new to the industry, I just want you to know, you have United Healthcare or Blue Cross. I'm going to go to the Blue Cross website, and that's how I'm going to find my provider. I just want to walk you through what the patients think, because it is purely your responsibility to collect these copays and deductibles. So let's go out to the interweb, and I'm going to go ahead and choose a location. So I'm going to go ahead and put in 66202. Here we are. That's correct. And I'm going to browse a list of plans. I don't want to. Okay. So I'm going to click this one, confirm selection. And then I'm going to do a doctor by specialty. So I need eyeball treatments. And let's just say I need a eye exam. So here we are, and most patients, what they do is they go choose the first provider who is generally closest to them. So this is Dr. Brill, my dad. He's 0.3 miles away from my search. So that's where I'm going to go. There's his associate. There's another guy just blocked down. So you can see all the optometrists here, and this is how people choose their plans. And then the patient's going to expect you to know all about their plans. So that's the simplicity of how people choose. All right, we're going to move on to the next thing here. So this is we're going to pretend this is the patient, and the patient's calling your front desk. This is Cynthia. She's a wonderful receptionist. She's been in the job role for 20 years. She's actually the doctor's wife, and she actually has a master's in biochemical engineering, but you know, she prefers to have a good home life, be with her kids, and also support the family business. And so this patient's calling, and Cynthia's answering the phone. And there's some pieces of information Cynthia needs to collect to make sure this medical visit goes really well for this cute little kid. Okay, so you need to gather all of the patient's information at the time of the phone call. It's way too late. If they're off the phone, good luck ever getting back to them. So the few of the things that you need are their full legal name. I'm not going to read all this stuff, but you need their social security, their cell phone, because how are you going to contact them if you don't have their cell phone? You need the ID number from the card. You need a physical picture or scan of the card. And many times patients will say, well, I have United Health Insurance. Well, United Health Insurance is actually through a company called UMR. Or I have Humana, but it's really carved out through some little local tiny beepy bop plan that the city has in, you know, nowhere, Virginia. So that's why you need to collect all of this information. And I'm going to show you some tools to collect the information. So first of all, let's go through the cards. It's very simple. Here's an example. You have the member. It's going to have their name. This identification number is probably the most important thing. I don't really care what the group number is, but you can get it anyways. You don't need the RX group number. You're going to see on the card, it's going to share what if there's a copay or no copay. But I like to have this data because I like to compare what I find to what the card finds, and the more data, the better. And you need the front and the back. The reason you need the back is it's going to have what's called a payer ID. It's a 5-6-digit code that is basically like a zip code, but for it's like a social security number, but for insurance companies, where we can identify them by a number rather than a name, and we can submit that to that correct place. And then you also have the 1-800 number to the insurance company, just in case you got to call them. You don't want to be go searching online. You just want to look on the back of the card. Once that patient comes in and you don't have the card, you're screwed. And you're screwed because here you are, the doctor has 20 patients and your office is running like a train schedule. You absolutely cannot stop that train. It's going to take 3 miles for that train to stop. And then it's going to plow into a car. And by plow into a car, I mean, that doctor is going to end up late for every single patient after that first one you're struggling at the front desk. And so you don't want to be panicking when that patient's sitting right in front of you, breathing down your neck with her kid in her hand, another kid hanging from her leg. And now you're handing over, now they're handing the insurance card to you. So you want to prepare ahead of time. I would rather be a dog in life. This is my dog. Anyone have dogs? What kind of dog you have? This is Gideon. If you want to put your dog's name in the chat, you have a Rot. Cool, cool. And so not everything is easy as a dog, and we have to accept that, and we have to prepare. You know, I'm being very safe here. I got my dog in a seatbelt, so you want to be very safe in your practice. Awesome. A lot of dog lovers here. This is great. So do any of you have We4 Patient Care Solution Reach? Which one do you guys utilize for texting your patients? Weave. Okay. Now, one way, this is the very simple solution, is when you're talking to a patient, whether they're previous or current, ask them, can you please take a picture of the front and back of your insurance card and send it through text? Does anyone do that here? Give me a yes if you do insurance card texting. Yes. Okay. See, wonderful. So that's a really easy solution to getting that done. If you're worried about privacy and HIPAA concerns, don't worry about any of that. These solutions were built for HIPAA privacy, and you're A-okay. You're good. Now, email, you could do email too, but you know, email's messy. People just want to take a picture and they don't want to have to attach it. This is much easier. So the next way, and here's an example. Hey, it's Perry Eye Care Center. Please snap a pic of the front and back of your insurance card and send it over. The patient says, sure, we'll do. The patient sends me their insurance card via text, just like that. Very simple. Now, this does require your front desk to pay attention and actually do it. I'm going to put this notifications on mute. They're really bugging me here. So that's one thing. Now, I'm going to show you another solution, and it's having a form. So instead of asking patients to text the card, you're going to ask them to text a form or to fill out a form. And I'm going to fill it out with you. And you're going to see the reason why I like a form better than texting. All the data is centrally located, central, with spices when you're cooking. Who likes to cook here? I like to cook. I like to cook a lot. I'm not the best cook, but I'm decent. Yeah. Karen, what do you like to make? Okay. So when you're cooking, where do you put the spices? Do you put the Italian spices in this cabinet, and then you put the Chinese spices over here in this cabinet, or do you aggregate all the spices together? Like fajitas, yum. So I put all the spices in one central area so it's easy to find and labeled, of course. Let's go ahead and fill out this form. And I'm actually going to post a link in the chat, and I want everyone to fill out this form together. So there's the form. And if you guys could please fill out that form, as many of you as possible. You don't need to upload an insurance card, but you can upload any picture on your phone that you want. And fake social security numbers, fake names, fake insurance companies, whatever you want. But please go ahead and fill that out. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to sit here and watch this Google Sheet populate with everybody's information. So I'm going to give it just maybe another 30 seconds, maybe a minute. And this is a very low-tech, almost free solution for you guys to gather all of the patient's information in one central hub. And here it popped. My hands are free. I'm not doing anything. And I really would like you guys to upload pictures. It'll be much better. So all I did was I connected an online form service to a Google Sheet integration, which is HIPAA compliant. Google will sign a BAA with you, a business associate agreement. And now you're able to collect all the patient information, and it's awesome. Someone's drawing on my screen. Fun. So does anyone have questions how this integration works, or do you find this useful? Come on, guys. Let's get a few more submissions here. This is easy. So there we go. Love it. I love it. This is awesome. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to click this link. So basically all I did was I click the link and it pulls it up right here. And you guys are asking about, do I get this in my EHR? You have to decide at what point in your life, in your practice management life, do you really need it in your EHR? Do you really need it in two places? Is it that big of a deal? I say to heck with it. If I have this, and what I would do, I would make this date called 1/1/23, and 1/11. And now I know this is all the 1/11/23 dates. I have a folder. Whenever I want to come back, I just look at it. It's very simple. Now, if you wanted to, you could download each of these files, and you could do that too to check it out. That was your upload. Okay, awesome. So that's how that works. So there's a solution for you. Very simple. Let's go back to the presentation. Now we're going to get into what is a copayment. We're going to get into the nitty gritty of all this stuff. So a copayment, I'm just going to let you guys read it for a second. It's basically the amount that you pay your doctor when you go in for a visit. And it's in the contract. It's right on the card. You can see where it says office copay, $25. We are optometrists and ophthalmology are considered specialist. Sometimes it goes under a primary care classification, but we're not going to get into that today. So most of the time it's an office visit and it's $25. If it's urgent, meaning, hey, I got a stick in my eye, that's not urgent care. We're not, as our facilities, we're not classified as that type of provider. We are off specialist. Can you guys see the PowerPoint again? You guys could just let me know with a yes, please. Okay, great. So let's move into deductibles. This is where it starts to get confusing, and we're going to work through some examples. The reason we have deductibles, I'm going to give you the business reason why we have deductibles. The reason we have the deductible is we do not want patients coming into our offices every single day for stupid stuff. Oh, my eyeball is a little sore today. Let me come into the visit to my office and get a free visit. That's why deductibles exist. So it prevents patients from coming in for things that really are not necessary. They can take care of that stuff themselves. That's the way I see it from a provider standpoint. Now, you have to pay your full deductible before your medical insurance will start covering all of your visits in full. So deductibles range in prices. So just in general, when you have a higher premium, a premium is a bill you pay, just an invoice. When I go sign up for medical insurance for myself, let's say my premium is $500 a month for myself. That means I'm going to pay more now and pay less later. So although my monthly fee is higher, when I go to the doctor, I'm going to pay much, much less. But if I want to be a cheapskate and I buy a $200 medical plan where I have to pay $200 every single month to United Healthcare, my deductible is going to be higher. So as a patient, I have to expect when I go into that office, I will have to pay out of pocket. So there's ups and downs. Okay, we're going to go through an example here. And we're going to start with a $3,000 deductible. And then I have 80-20 coinsurance. So that means once I've met my deductible, Blue Cross, United, they're going to pay 80% of my medical bills. And I just have to pay 20%. Pretty fair. And then to fully have medical insurance pay everything, I first have to reach my $6,000 out-of-pocket deductible. So little short story, I had a motorcycle. It was a 1987 Honda Rebel. It was blue. It was sparkly. I was cool. I was badass. And I was at the University of Kansas. I was going to the library one night. It was like 7 p.m. Had my cool helmet on, which like flashed and stuff. And I turned the Yui on this like steep hill. And the weight of the bike went on me. And I forever screwed up my right wrist. I could hardly even lift a textbook, a pot of rice that weighed 3 pounds. Long story short, I go to the orthopedic doctor. And she's kind of attractive too. And I got checked. And this visit costed me $400 to get checked. And then I had a cortisone shot, which actually magically worked. It made everything better. And that visit with the cortisone shot ended up being $400. But thankfully, it wasn't actually $400. The visit came down to $200. And the reason it was $200 is when doctors, medical providers sign up with medical plans, they have a fee schedule and a contract. So the contract states that for XYZ services, you can only charge X amount. So this visit, instead of being $400, cost $200. This is the allowed amount or the negotiated rate. So I have not met my deductible of $3,000. So all I had to pay was my $200 allowed amount. Not that I don't pay $400, I pay $200, what's allowed. So now I have a $2,800 remaining deductible, which is still really high for a healthy young male to accomplish. Now, we have something called an out-of-pocket maximum. OOP is another name for it. And this is the most you have to pay for covered services in a plan year. After you spend this amount on deductibles, co-payments, and co-insurance for in-network care and services, your health plan will pay 100% of cost of covered benefits. So things that do not apply to OOP, your premiums, your monthly, anything you spend that's auxiliary, maybe I got a little Band-Aid wrap, things like that, or even out-of-network care. It's very rare for you to meet your out-of-pocket maximum unless something catastrophic happened. Broke my leg, cancer, brain bleeding, anything like that. We're going to go in a little more example here in just a second. So now let's define coinsurance. Coinsurance is the percentage of cost of a covered healthcare service where, for instance, I pay 20% and health insurance pays 80%. And it'll make sense on this next slide here. So let's go back to my risk calculation again. So I've already reduced my deductible down to $2,800. Now let's say I got an MRI. I met my deductible. So my deductible is zero. But I still have this out-of-pocket maximum. What is going to happen next is I head to the eye doctor and I get a glaucoma workup, OCT, field pressures, whatever else is in there. And usually it's a $300 thing, but with the allowed amount, it's only $150. And so now what's going to happen is I am going to pay 20% of that $150 charge. So I only have to pay $3. Which is super reasonable. And I'm also going to pay my copay, which will contribute to that out-of-pocket maximum. So, but with the 20% of 150, my OOP now is $5,970. Now insurance is going to pick up the other 80%, so that other $120. That's how that works. Your copay does not contribute to your deductible. Your copay do contribute to your out-of-pocket maximums, though. So
So after your deductible is met, you still have to pay your copay. So for all my additional visits, my other glaucoma workups, maybe I go in for, I got some foot pain and I go to the podiatrist, I'm going to start paying 20% on all those visits. It's going to take quite a long time for me to reach that $6,000 out-of-pocket maximum, and I'll likely never reach it. So, you know, even think about it. Even if I got a $20,000 hospital bill because I banged my head mountain biking, okay, well, 20% of $20,000 is $4,000, and my out-of-pocket maximum is $6,000. So it's just very likely you'll never meet that OOP.
Collect money now, not later. Now. If the patient can't afford it, you have to kind of work with them or give them a number saying, look, your deductible leftover is $400. Can you put $100 down? They'll say, yeah, I can do $100. And then sometimes you can put them on a payment plan, auto charge their credit card, auto charge their bank account. And this is something I've actually done through just your merchant processor, is you can actually set up automatic payments through that. Doing the whole out-of-pocket maximum and co-insurance calculations a little more involved, you're going to need to be experienced first collecting the deductible, and then you can work on collecting the co-insurance. Okay, so we're talking about, you know, putting things in the electronic health records, and this is going to go into more detail. So here's your electronic health record system. This is Humana, and you can see that the front desk has already put the member ID in. And this practice took the liberty to put the deductibles inside the electronic health record system. They have the co-insurance as the percentage there. And then the staff, which is really important, is they note take of when they did the verification. This takes time to do it. And it's double data entry. I'm going to show you how I prefer to do things. I prefer just to have things in a spreadsheet. I don't need it in two places. I just need it in one and reference it. The person that is doing your medical billing or any type of data entry, especially the front desk, they have to have dual monitors. You don't see it, but I've got a monitor here and I got my computer over here. So I have two screens. I can flip back and forth. Okay. Does anyone use the eligibility feature within their EHR? They have a button. Anybody use the button? Just put a yes. It's likely linked to Trizetto, Availity, or Change Healthcare. No. Is it that you don't know how to link it up? It's too complicated, or it's just not accurate? I'm just curious. Use Availity? Not sure how to? It's extremely complicated. It's completely unnecessary. Yeah, I hear you. Not always correct. Okay. I think it's complete crap, if I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to show you why it's complete crap. And Trizetto, lame. I'm not making fun of their product. It's just not user-friendly for a novice like many of us. Okay, so here we are. I press that little eligibility button and it's processing the request. And your common people is Trizetto, Availity, and Change Healthcare. And what it does is it goes out and it's basically a handshake, and it's shaking the hand of the of Blue Cross, United, Medicare, or it's shaking what's called the clearinghouse, and it's doing something called EDI exchange, electronic data interface, a bunch of acronyms you don't even need to know. So I'm going to tell you, learning the deductibles, copays, and coinsurance crap is easy. You just got to work through the examples, rewatch this, go online. There's plenty of tools to help you train better than I can on doing the calculations. It's very simple. There's YouTube videos that do whole whiteboard presentations. You know, just Google, you know, I'll even send a YouTube link where I kind of learned some stuff. So here we are. I pulled that internally, and this is just a poopy data dump, to be honest. I mean, which coverage information do I select? Do I select medically related transportation, emergency, urgent care, outpatient, health benefit coverage? I mean, what do I select? This is terrible. I do see it's active. That's very important information. Oh my God. And then they give you this. This is not a site. This is within an electronic health record system that I screenshotted. So now they give me this big data dump, and it has coinsurance listed, has deductible listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, copayment listed 5 times. I mean, this is just terrible. So I'm also going to show you other terrible verification methods. Calling, does anybody call? I mean, you can't even get into Blue Cross. You wait on hold for 45 minutes. So if you called, just be honest, say you call, it's okay. Forget about calling. Yeah, it's worthless. I'd rather just accept the copayment and wait till the bill comes in to bill the patient. Payer websites, you end up navigating 15 different websites and then the password gets reset and nobody can get into it. Faxes get lost, email's terrible. Looking at old data from last year, that's really bad because coverage changes every single year. Card data is excellent. Make sure you capture the card data. Doing nothing is just you're screwed. So now let's get into the solutions. This is what you guys are here for. So if this is someone's insurance receivable, now this is scary, guys. $86,000 in insurance receivable here. Now there's a few reasons this number is so high that I'm speculating. One is they just didn't post the payments. They've already been paid either via a paper check or electronic ACH to their bank account. And they've received the remittance advice. Remittance advice is also named for explanation of payment. But there's other things that they just haven't billed. And the reason they haven't billed them is because they probably didn't get the right information from the insurance company. Now they have denials because the insurance card number is one number off or one letter. You are not the patient's friend. You are not the patient's friend when you're collecting money. This is a business transaction. You're going to be the most hated person at the front desk asking for the money. Does anybody feel like that when you ask for the money, like you're the Grinch? Just put G for Grinch. Like, I just want you guys to know you're all in the same boat. Yeah, it's terrible. So what you have to tell patients is, look, I didn't make up these rules. This is your plan. You can show them proof of their medical plan if you want. And collect the copay, collect the deductible. You'll never collect later. Now, many of us probably use Weave text to pay and you send bills via mail, via email. Those are all, and use collection agencies. I've done all that too. It works. It's great, but you're always going to write off 10 to 20% of your medical insurance, maybe more. And it's sad to see that we work so hard and have a really great practice to see us just write that crap off. You have to have someone you can incentivize the staff to collect and give them a percentage of collections. I don't know if that really works. The proper way is you just have to have someone who has a hard-headed mentality. You have to have a proper patient presentation of how the fees are calculated. And we're going to get into that next. Aaron, we practice in a college town. They want me to bill mommy and daddy. Ooh, man, that's hard. Can we get mommy and daddy on the phone? But the real thing is what you need to be doing is you need to be texting your patients ahead of time, telling them, sir, ma'am, Julie, Cynthia, grandpa, Bill, your deductible is $600. You're coming in for your glaucoma workup. We expect your bill is going to be about $300, which would be due at the time of service. We call this a good faith estimate. Have you guys heard of that term, a good faith estimate? Legislation now. Good faith estimate. So the only way to prevent the awkwardness at the front desk is over communication with your patients. Now, the downside of messaging your patients ahead of time that the patient is going to owe a $25 copay and a $250 deductible is that they may just say, screw that, I'm canceling. I don't really need the glaucoma workup. My eyes don't hurt. It's not like I have a rash. You don't feel that you have glaucoma. Any texting system is good that's integrated. You don't want to be double typing stuff. Okay, so this is an explanation of payment. You will need to study these, understand them, learn them. And if you have someone with even a dose of experience that can help you go through this, it's very important. You're going to compare this explanation of payment to your super bill, invoice, ledger, whatever you call it in your practice management system. It's going to show. This is the most trustworthy thing that you can look at. It's going to show the exact copay, the coinsurance, what the plan paid, what's not covered, if there's any errors. If you want to know the accuracy of how you're doing in office, you have to audit these explanations of payments. Weaver, Demand Force, 200, 300, 500. It varies. They have so many programs. Okay. Let's mute all these people. Okay. So collecting a payment is an art and a science. And I'm getting echoes for some reason. You can't always be 100% correct. So this is inside of an EHR system. And what I did is I went to reports. It doesn't matter if you're on OfficeMate, Revolution, Crystal Practice Management, iCloud Pro, CompuLink, you can create reports and custom schedule the reports. Reports are your friend. So I created this custom report and it's an appointment report. And you can see what I'm pulling as far as appointment dates is I'm going to pull the current week and where I could pull the next week. How far are you guys booked out? How many weeks are you guys booked out? 1, 2, 3 weeks, 8 weeks, 4, a month, 1. See, we're all so slammed and we have plenty of time for preparation. So what I'm going to do is I ran 1 week, but you could run literally a whole month at a time and you'll have a whole 30-day preparation period to prepare patients for the visit. So here we are. I ran the report and it came with last name. I blocked, this is actual patient information, so I blocked it out. Last name, first name, appointment date, the time they're coming in, why they're coming in. You can see this is me. I did it. The member ID, the health plan, and any secondary plans is here. So you can do this. This is if you guys can click a button. The next thing you do is anyone interested in bulk insurance verification? Just put BS or no, put BI, sorry, not bullshit. Bulk insurance verification. Okay. This is a tool that I can help you set up. There's other bulk and verification tools. Trizetto has one, Availity has one, Change Healthcare has one. I like this one. There's a term called UI UX, stands for user interface, user experience. We use it in the software development world where we can train novices and newbies how to use software. And if you've ever used Trizetto, it's a lot, it's very complicated. There's a lot of buttons. You have 6 buttons here. It's easy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload an Excel file and I just drop it right here. That patient schedule with all those ID numbers, birthdays, I'm going to drop it here. The next step is, holy moly, I just verified my whole schedule for the day, my whole month for the day, for the week, or whole month for the month. It's all done just like that. It shows active or inactive is in red. It's color coded. Purple means HMO. Do you guys know what HMOs are? I should have put that in the presentation, but I didn't. An HMO is a health management organization. I believe that's the acronym. And what that means is before a patient can come see you, the specialist, the eye doctor, they need to get a referral from their PCP, their primary care physician. And the reason they need to get a referral is you as the specialist will not get paid without a referral. So they force the patient to go to their PCP and the PCP says, no, I can't take that stick out of your eye. You need to go see your eye doctor. They give you some referral code, which you're going to submit on that claim so you actually get paid. Many times you can just call the PCP. So if the patient calls, says, I have a stick in my eye, you know it's an HMO. You're going to call the PCP, say, hey, I need a referral. They're going to process the paperwork so you can get that authorization number so you can submit the claim. So now, and these ones in blue are high deductible plans. It also will tell you if you have invalid or missing subscriber ID numbers. So something was wrong, like maybe someone fat fingered a number. And it's going to show the plans. Okay, there's some buttons here. I can't click all this crap because it'd show PHI, else I would actually take you into the whole software program. So let's move on to the next thing. I'm going to walk you through all this together. Holy moly, this is amazing. It says it's an HMO and I don't even have to look for it. It puts these cute little stars next to it. How nice is that? It's going to show the PCP information here and I'll walk you through that in the next one. So instead of asking the patient who's your PCP or calling them, I have them right here. I don't have to go anywhere. It's going to show who their secondary payer is. There's no co-insurance. Here's the copay. It's very easy to read. Okay, next, we click another tab. It shows the deductible in plain English. You don't even have to think about this. They have no deductible and there's no deductible remaining. Now here's their out-of-pocket stuff. Okay, Oh, there's the PCP. Wow, I can just call the PCP real quick. Amazing. Here's the United Payer health information. Is there other payer? It doesn't say the ID number, but at least I know who it is. Secondary. Oh my gosh, I can export that all that information too into an Excel sheet. Wow. So you can, all that data that I just showed you on that original grid with all the patient information, you can download that in Excel format and do whatever you need to with it. And this actually has a lot more line items and rows to it, but I didn't extend all the way across. So very easy. You do not need to put all this information in your EHR. It's way overrated. You can see, you just name it the date, name the Excel thing a date, put it in a folder and have an organization system. Your Excel sheet or the portal for bulk insurance verification is on your left screen. EHR is on the right screen throughout the day and you're golden. If you ever need to reference something, just pull it up in the screen. If you want to make your life miserable, go ahead and copy and paste 300 pieces of information every single day. I feel like this entry system takes too long for offices, no? I'm not sure what you mean takes too long. This Excel sheet, I didn't actually type up this Excel sheet. This Excel sheet comes from here. So I would actually hit this download button and it would download all of them onto one Excel sheet for the day that has all the copays and information there. And if you click this little play button here, this actually shows you, gets you into the patient's profile. It doesn't matter if it's a dependent subscriber, this system will find the patient's insurance. You can have the first name spelled wrong, it'll likely still find it. And it's going to all the majority of the payers. And this is there's a little setup process to this, but it doesn't take you more than an hour to set this up. So sometimes, guess what? Eye exams are covered by major medical insurance, but how would you know that? How would you know it? Well, I'll tell you how. So what you would do is you set up your specialty within these systems, and anytime there's a vision benefit, it's going to put a red flag for you on that one that it has a vision benefit. If it's through Spectera, it's going to tell you it's through Spectera. Now, sometimes there's nuances. It's not always perfect. Tabitha says, Trizetto interfaces with Eyefinity, and at the click of a button, you can check eligibility, and that data is parsed and placed into the patient's insurance section fast and easy. Exactly. Only if the data is actually parsed into the exact fields is it good. I personally prefer everything in a dashboard format. I don't really like to go click into everybody's tabs of every single person's insurance. And plus, Tabitha, just to let you know, you still have to click every single patient's button through for the day within Eyefinity to authorize insurance. So if you have 25 people on there for the day, you have to click 25 buttons. With this, you click one button and you authorize everybody for the day. And that's why I prefer this system better. If medical insurance covers an exam, it will not. I mean, it's all based on the plan, but most of the time it only covers the actual eye exam, refraction and exam. 014 and 015 if you're using those codes. So to be clear, we just run a report from OfficeMate, export to Excel, and then your system takes over. Yeah, basically you run a report from OfficeMate of your schedule. You need to select the columns you need. Okay, I need the insurance provider, date of birth, ID number. Maybe I need a date of birth of the actual subscriber. You upload it. You're going to get some, if you get any error messages, it'll tell you, hey, these out of 30 patients, only 27 processed, three have errors. And so you'll go work those errors. Maybe you just have old information. Is there a way to verify in bulk if we do not use electronic records? Yes, Elizabeth. If you want to verify in bulk without electronic records, what you would do is just build your own Excel sheet. So you have to type everything manually, which is not a big deal. So with any system, you can still go onto a website. So if you see here where it says eligibility summary, if I were to click there, you could just do one off patients at a time. So let's say I had a walk-in, I would just search that patient. Now, at that point, you know, it's like Availty and Trizetto and all that stuff. There's nothing sexy about this. I think what's sexy about this is the layout and the interface, which makes everything better. I will not be showing, I do have a Trizetto account that I use, but I will not be showing how to do that. It's not my expertise. I will be sending out links to all this later. I do offer insurance verification services. I'm going to give myself kind of a self plug, cause I deserve it, of the services that I do offer. So give me 1 second. I'm going to pull up this. So part of my remote staffing services and how I've learned how to do this is working with many, many offices on insurance verification because it's a pain point. And so I offer virtual staffing where I actually do this for your office. If you think about it, it's not good for a $25 an hour employee or even $18 an hour employee to be verifying insurance. It's time consuming. This is an entry-level job doing the actual data pulling. And I can do this for you where you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to struggle. How am I going to do this? How you don't need to do it. You just need someone to delegate it to someone. Just like you delegate the opticians being able to take their seg heights. The doctor doesn't take the seg height and vice versa. You know, the doctor's not answering the phone. Opticians are not scrubbing the toilets. You know, you have a cleaning company likely. And so you can have all this done for you. And whether you need a full-time team member, or a part-time or even extremely part-time person, you can have someone do this for you even just 10 hours a week, 5 hours a week, and you'll walk in every morning and it's all done for you. All you have to do is see the patients. I am going to put my website here if you want. And it does, I do explain some of this on my website. Some of it I don't, I just haven't built the pages yet. You can always reach out to me at my email. But if you want to use your existing tools that you already have and just ask Trizetto Availty if they can set it up for you. If it's going to take you 20 hours or even 10 hours to set up, I kind of say good luck because they're not very helpful. The problem with working with these big organizations, your little Dr. Navendi, your little Dr. Lisa, little Dr. Jerry, you're a little fry to them who's only spending $100 a month. They're working with hospital organizations and private equity chains who feed them 500 locations and their account is worth 20 million. And here we are, worth $200 a month. And they're just not going to spend the time with you to develop a correct process. So you have to rely on the little guys. Yeah. Yeah, Tabitha, I just mentioned I do offer that service that I can do all the verification for you. I don't personally do it. I have a well-trained team that does it, where you're kept up to date on what's done, what's not done every single day. Yes, we check vision benefits too. That's also a service we offer, full service checking vision benefits in bulk. I'm trying to decipher what you're asking, Tabitha. Info we need regarding available copay, contact lens fit, cover, not covered, and medical insurance specialty copay. Yeah. Sorry, going backwards. If medical insurance will pay for a yearly exam, but the patient also has a vision plan, can I still bill medical and not vision? I'm not an expert on medical billing and coding. I will say that. I have a very surface level knowledge on the ICD-10 and the rules and legislation behind coding and billing. I'm much stronger on insurance verification, eligibility, processes, and systems pre-visit. So what I would do is, if obviously Blue Cross is going to pay me $110 for an eye exam and Spectera is going to pay me pennies, I would submit it to Blue Cross first. And then you could, of course, if you wanted to coordinate that with VSP, Spectera, whoever, to get the remaining payment. If you want to get in touch with me, you can text me or email me. And I do offer custom solutions. So if your solution is not satisfied by this stuff, this is what I do for a living. I create custom tech solutions for people. I have a handful of clients on the system that I do this for. So this is something that you have to have trust that you are not going to be doing yourself. And it's just a new service I launched in the past 2 months. But I represent about over 40 clinics nationwide in terms of remote staffing. So whether you need your phones answered, You need your VSP build for glasses, contact lenses, exams. You need virtual scribing. There's actually clinics in here. If you're a remote staffing client, you can say hi. Just to clarify, to get the bulk medical verification, that is the service you provide or we pay for it. So there's two methods. I can set up the bulk verification for you. So I lay the groundwork. Hey, Linda Way, how are you? Zara, hi. These are my remote team members. They're actually based in South Africa. They're actually opticians and actually real opticians. So based in South Africa and they help with all this stuff. Let me go back. So I can help with the technical bone setup where I'll set it up for you and I'll hand you the keys to the car and you do it. Or I'll do it all for you. I'll set it up and I'll manage it. I'll run your reports, verify the insurance. If something's not eligible, I'll reach out to the patient via Weave, text them, get that new ID number. And so you kind of have like a sidekick. And so when you're sleeping, all this work is being done since there's a little time zone difference. And the way I like to think about this is even in Oregon, it doesn't matter West Coast, East Coast, doesn't matter what time zone you're in. Think about this, guys. A sandwich shop. Anybody like sandwiches? I like a good Italian sandwich. A sandwich shop doesn't have to be, they can still be an excellent sandwich shop if they don't bake their own bread. It's okay if they buy their bread from some other bread producer in town. So you as the medical practice, you don't need to bake your own insurance verification. You can outsource it. You're going to get it done a lot cheaper and a lot more accurate. It's .co. Yeah, ihelpyou.co. And just to let you know, staffing is hard. Oh man, I love some Jimmy John's. Give me the number. Is that number 9 Italian? You need redundancies in your practice. And the only way to get redundancies is through outsourcing. If Jackie in your office quits and she's the one that handles insurance verification, you're back to square one, training someone over and over and over and again. But when you have a team like me who can do it for you, I have redundancies and now I'm the one who's held responsible to make sure this works for you. And so I have redundancies that go 3 layers deep to make sure all this stuff gets done in accountable people. I know iTrust is like $99 a month, $100 a month. I mean, it's just a PMS system, EHR. I don't know how robust it is. But all I can recommend to you is step one is you need to first just understand what a copay is, a deductible, and how to find it. If you're going to every single website one by one by one, eliminate that procedure immediately. Use a bulk insurance verification tool. I'm going to put them in the chat. Availity, Trizetto, Change Healthcare, or Perry System. That's number one. And then you're going to notify the patients ahead of time that they owe a deductible so that they're prepared for it. And you're going to have the correct verbiage and language how to speak to the patients. The patients may say, no, I've never had a deductible in my life. I don't know what that is. And it's like, sir, here's how a deductible works. When you come to the office, you have what's called the deductible. It's the amount that you need to pay for all your visits before your insurance starts paying in full. And you may need to give analogies and things like that. Maybe in an email follow-up, I can give you some scripting and things to go through on that. Question from Tabitha. Tabitha's on the ball. You're doing great, Tabitha. Let's say a patient has both vision and medical. Medical will cover a routine eye exam. Is it okay or legal to make an office policy that we only bill medical insurance in our office? So today your visit will be billed through your medical plan and your copay will be this amount of dollars. We always get, most medical plans do not have what's called a vision rider. They don't cover vision. And so over time, as you're going through all these medical plans, you should spot which ones cover vision and which ones don't. And I have a screenshot. Let me see if I can pull it up for you on my screen. There's something that I call a rules engine. Yeah, the Blink Eye Care, yes, the deductibles update automatically. So let's say you're doing a dry eye visit and you say, hey, I want you to come back in a week. Tell me if the doxycycline is helping with the inflammation of it. I actually, even though they're only coming in a week later, I'm going to check that deductible 7 days later because within that time period, they could have already had more medical visits and now their deductible has changed. So, and it's very cheap. to check deductibles. It's not like you're paying $4 per deductible check. You're paying change on this. So I would rather pay $1.50, so, or $2, to know that I'm going to get paid $300 deductible. Staff is asking, plain terms, what is the definition of coinsurance? I'll give you the definition of coinsurance. It's right here in the chat. It's the percentage of cost of a covered healthcare service you pay after you've paid your deductible. So simple terms. Let's say, I'm going to put it in the chat. You have $1,000 deductible. And you met that $1,000 deductible. So $0 deductible remaining. But now, remember, you have this, what's called an out-of-pocket maximum, OOP. I would need to pay, so my out-of-pocket maximum is $5,000. So now I've already, my deductible gets applied to that out-of-pocket maximum. So now my out-of-pocket maximum is $4,000. And I'll probably make a whole other little video on this and go work through some examples before I send this recording out. Now, that glaucoma workup is $300. And I'm going to take 20% of that $300. That's what the patient's going to pay. And that is $60. Patient's going to pay $60. It's a little more clear example. So many times, the deductible applies to the out-of-pocket maximum. Most of the time, the patient only pays that percent if the deductible has been met. Correct. Yes. Yep. So the coinsurance is generally a super reasonable amount. It's going to be much less than what the deductible is.
After the deductible has been met, the patient will still continue to pay their copay, which will contribute to the out-of-pocket maximum. Once the out-of-pocket maximum, the OOP, is met, at that point, the patient will no longer need to pay a copay because they fulfilled their duty of meeting the max limit they need to pay towards healthcare.
We didn't really get through Medicare. I don't want to get too deep in the woods with it, but Medicare is easy to look up. It's sometimes a little different search process, but it's easy to look up. There's secondary payers. There's plans called Medicare Advantage. And there's a lot of rules behind looking up Medicare and interpreting it. So that'll probably be for a different time. But just know that many times there is no deductible, no copays for many Medicare plans, and the coverage is usually pretty good. Medicaid, same. Medicaid sometimes is run by a state organization, and such as, they just call it Florida Medicaid, and it's ran by the state. Medicaid can also contract through plans like Evolve or Sunshine Health or OptiCare, a lot of other stuff like that. And they're basically commercial companies that take care of Medicaid plans for the government. Medicare and Medicaid, part of your spreadsheet. Yeah, if they have Medicaid or Medicare, that's all on the spreadsheet. Part B, Medicare, is what we're looking for. Part A is for hospitalization. Part B is for us as specialists. So all we care about is Part B. When you're looking at a card, Part B is what we're focusing on. Let me just snip a screenshot real quick. Sign us up. Yeah. Sign me up. Yeah. And I'm very, very responsive. If you just want to chat, there's no obligation. Like, this is my passion. I enjoy all this. Let me show you what a vision optometry exam verification looks like so you can actually see it. Yes. We good? Cool. All right. So as you can see on here, I search by your specialty. Your specialty is, one, you're a professional office, if that's coming in for a medical visit. If they're coming in, we also like to look at their vision to see if they do have a routine benefit. Well, here you can see, can I zoom in? No, I can't zoom in. It says it's VSP. So VSP is their vision provider, and they don't, that's who the vision's through. So you'll know that. I'll know that. If this was covered, Blue Cross, you would see the plan here and it would say the coverage and the copay. So it's really that simple. But, you know, 95% of people don't have medical plans that cover eye exams. a lot of kids do. A lot of pediatrics have covered eye exams. So that's something that you can look at. I might give you a little inside glimpse of some tips and tricks to managing all the exceptions, because that is super important. I'm not the smartest person. My documentation is what makes me smart, and taking great notes. You guys know when someone doesn't take notes in your office, you guys get upset. Like, for instance, maybe the patient's complaining about a doctor, like they can't see out of their glasses, and then nobody left a note. And now that person goes on vacation and someone else is stuck to deal with all that crap. Well, that's because someone didn't take notes. And this is a note-taking tool that you guys would need to develop, and I would help you develop it, where this is called a business rules engine. When I come across a plan that has vision coverage, or when I come across a plan that says they get 2 free specialty visits per year, because that does happen. There's some, it's like, come, you get 2 visits per year to the specialist that you don't have to pay for. So what I do, I create what's called a rule. And it's based on, okay, so with this plan name that contains Lisa HMO Plan Bronze, I'm just making this name up, or let's make it more realistic, Aetna, it has to be exact wording, then I want you to put a custom value for the eligibility response summary of when it has a copay. And so I save this. Oops, I need to put a rule name. 2 free eye exams. And so anytime I would come across this exact plan again, I would know without having to think and look at the literature of what's happening. Well, I'm going to kind of conclude it here. Any more questions? Anything I can answer for you? So those are the basics of medical insurance verification, like extreme basics. Hope you found some value from that. And I know so many webinars. I'm tired. I need to take a nap. And yeah, I'll get the recording out probably Monday. Is there a contract? So the medical insurance verification, the way it works is you buy units. So let's say you're like, Perry, I want to buy 300 medical verifications. You just pay me for 300 verifications. And there's no time frame. There's no expiration date on it. When you use it, you use it. The more you buy, the cheaper it gets. A busy practice may say, look, Perry, I want to get by 800 medical verifications. And you have a running tally. You always can see your count of your verifications. And you probably noticed this, but I'll share with you. I kind of share with you your exact money you're spending. I'll share this screen. Very transparent in the way I do business. So you can see in the top right here where it has, you know, my business name, Entrepreneur. This is the balance of $48. And so this shows what you spent. So if you're like, Perry, put $500 towards insurance verification there. Every time I run a patient, it's going to add to that balance, add to that balance, add to that balance. So you'll know exactly where you are with things. And we can, of course, you know, set up limitations so we're not charging your credit card thousands of dollars. A lot of consultants, a lot of EHR companies, they don't really have an interest in this stuff. It's too complicated. It's too technical. And there's not a lot of money in it until you scale it. So they're interested in big contracts of consultation. I don't have much consultation to give you. If you just tell me, Perry, I want to get started with insurance verification, you're going to say, Perry, here's my list of 50 payers. I get them all uploaded into here. What happens is I go into settings. I go to client practice payer. I start building a list of all your people. So I'm like, oh, okay. So let me go to, United. Okay, let's put United and United American, but maybe you guys call it United American and you don't call it this. So I come in here. Okay, add that. Well, add it. So when does a copay come into play then if a person has a deductible? If they have a deductible, they will pay their copay. Yes, they pay their copay. Now, copays and deductibles contribute towards that out-of-pocket maximum, but you don't need to even look at the out-of-pocket maximum. Let me give you a pointer. If they have a deductible, a significant deductible, $500 or $1,000, you don't even need to pay attention to coinsurance or the out-of-pocket maximum. Only time you need to pay attention to the out-of-pocket maximum is if they have, if they've met their deductible. I'll just kind of give you a blanket rule to start with. That's a safe thing. All right, everyone. Well, have a great afternoon here. Probably do some more trainings in the future. I'm not really sure what topics. I'm kind of enjoying this. We were on the cloud for Office Mate. Can you run? Yeah, Office Mate in the cloud. It's easy. I just log in just as you would from home. If you're server-based, you know, you can get, my team can come in through ConnectWise. We can work with any IT support, any security precautions you have. We sign business associate agreements. This is easy, guys. This is 21st century stuff. Does anyone outsource their medical billing? I don't want to provide that service for you, but all right. See you, Angel. See you, Lisa. Thanks, Allison. Thanks for being here. I'll catch up with you soon, Lisa. Take care, everyone. I'm going to go get my my Jimmy John's. I don't think I have them in my area. Take care. Bye, everyone. Have a great afternoon.
Hope you got some extreme value from that and feel more comfortable interpreting all those cryptic numbers. If you want to reach out to me, my email is perry@ihelpyou.co, EYEhelpyou.co. And you can also join my Facebook group. There's about 2,800 members in there, and we discuss entrepreneurship, technology, and innovation. And I'll also drop that link in the show notes. Peace.